By the way, Blues Travelers, I listened to John Popper on Adam Carolla's podcast, and he came up with one of his biggest hits on the toilet.
Well, that tracks.
That's on brand. I mean, that's on brand.
Yeah. Like, he's a blues traveler. He's, you know, spending a lot of time in rest stops and stuff.
Yeah. Rest stops, truck stops, and a lot of them, flying J's.
I'm sure he's greeted the way I'm greeted, where they're like, just bring back the key.
Yeah.
Fat bastard. We don't want you in our bathroom.
Yeah. Do you guys have a key? And they're just like,
I guess, John Popper.
Dude, I hate that when I go. I went to a,
like,
yeah.
He's like, I'm from Blues Traveler. Like, we know who you are. We don't.
You got your.
That doesn't mean we want you using our toilet.
Yeah, they're like, you and your harmonica vest. Can you?
Yeah, we're not gonna put a framed headshot of you in there or anything. Yeah. Where John Popper crapped.
Yeah,
that's. He called it the Popper Crapper.
The Popper Crapper by Menon.
Yeah. Yeah. That is not a scent you want from Menon. This will get you laid. Try our new Popper Crapper body spray. We're just him giving a thumbs up on the can. I put it in my tackle vest when I'm on the go.
Everybody listen to Derek Carter. Yeah. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, listen to a pocket party. Pocket party.
And we're back. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's your host, Darren Carter, the party starter, host of the Pocket Party Podcast, calling Mr. Mike Black.
Hello.
Hello, comedian extraordinaire Mike Black. How are you, sir?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good, man. I was just looking up acronyms. And first I had to remember what an acronym was.
Okay.
Because I'm like, what's that called when you like put the letters of the first word? And then my mind went, acronym, that's it. Then I Googled it just to confirm what I thought I knew, and I was correct.
Okay, and what's a good example of an acronym?
Okay, a good example of an acronym is this. My wife sprained her ankle. We were hiking, and she fell down and sprained her ankle, and I was like, and I told her right away, I go, you got to do blah, 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 X, Y, and Z. And she's like, what if she literally was like, I got to do blah, 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 blah. No, you have to. And do you know what to do? And I'll give you this example. Do you know what to do if you sprain your ankle?
I don't.
Oh, there's an acronym for it. And it's called RICE.
Okay.
And that stands for rest, ice. Wait, now I'm confused because I'm trying to write it down as I'm saying it. Rest, iced, elevation, compression.
Wouldn't it be rest, iced, compression, elevation?
Yeah, I'm no doctor, dude. Exactly. Yeah, see, I got confused because I'm trying to write it and I'm like, what the heck? Yeah, it's what is it again? It's rest, iced, compression, elevation.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yes.
And then she should also eat a bunch of rice.
Yeah. Yeah. Eat a bunch of rice. And then also it's funny that rice comes into play. Like if you get your iPhone wet, they say to put it in a zipped locked bag with a bunch of rice and somehow it like will extract the moisture out of your device.
Yeah. The rice is very dry and needs that moisture. So it'll steal it from your phone.
It'll steal it. Steal your information. It's the Chinese spies.
It's also downloading all your info while it's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I accidentally once dropped my iPhone in the toilet, and a bag of rice will not help in that case. If you do that, you're just going to need to get a new phone.
Yeah, dude. If it was, Luckily, a lot of our stuff is backed up, so you don't have to. Because I remember years ago seeing some news story where this guy, his phone fell down like a rain grate type of thing on the street.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow he was trying to reach down and lay down on the ground. And then I think he got killed. And I was like, man, now they back things up to a cloud. They're backed up a lot with passwords. So
sure. That's a lot smarter than trying to fight critters in the sewers to get to your
exactly.
Phone.
I know. I know. So I was thinking about that with rice. And then what about this one? Do you know what to do if you have an upset stomach? Have you ever heard of the phrase brat?
No.
You haven't heard that one? Okay, brat is bread, rice, applesauce, and what was the tea for?
Turpentine.
Tequila. No, what was it? No, the tea was, hold on. Let me see. What is it? Anyone know? Do you guys know what it is? Yeah. It's here we go. Banana, rice, applesauce, toast.
Toast.
Yes. You know, like if you have an upset stomach.
Yeah. Banana, rice, applesauce, toast. I really don't see how that mixture of things is going to be good for you.
Well, I guess like if your stomach, if it's like it's upset, like the bananas will kind of make everything solid, I guess. And the rice will, you know, and then applesauce.
Soak up all the moisture.
Yeah. Applesauce. It won't be too harsh on you, I guess. And then the toast is like nice and bready, I guess.
Do something.
Yeah, so I guess
I think you muted Darren.
Oh, and I said, and that's what that happens with that.
I
like
think you're on mute.
I'm on mute.
Oh, there you go.
I'm like, what the heck? I'm on mute. But yeah, so it's there's a lot of rice involved. Brat, rice, elevation, compression.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are just we don't have a B thing, but we need one for this word, or you know,
we don't
have an R. So
yeah, they're like, yeah, you can't call it rat. That's kind of gross. So we'll call it brat.
Yeah, and it's like it's actually bat, but they're like, we should put it.
I know.
Make it a different word.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that, like with injuries, you know, like different little injuries that we've had, like, you know, spraining your ankle or, you know, rolling an ankle and stuff. Have you,
when I was a kid, I became kind of notorious in the family for spraining my neck a lot.
Whoa.
I had a lot of, just underdeveloped muscles in my neck. And so, and I had a pretty big head and doing cartwheels and stuff like that. And I would get whiplash just very, very easily. Also, my parents were not very smart about living in a cold place like Colorado. They were both like Texas transplants. And when we moved to Colorado, they didn't know that like, if you leave the window open for breeze, the breeze can get so cold that it'll just tighten up all your muscles.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, they would leave the window open all night in my room and I'd wake up with like with a cold and a sprained neck, you know.
A sprained neck. I thought you were going to say something like, I sprained my neck a lot when I went through puberty, if you know what I mean.
No, not, no. I did not do that. No.
Yeah, like, Mike's really into yoga all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, that's, it would have, you would think I would have given that a whirl since I was like, yeah, the damage is done anyway. So, you know. But it was just, they didn't even get me like a whiplash collar until like the third time. That it happened, they were just like, you know, stay in bed, you know. But I would need things. I would need like to go to the bathroom or to go get something to eat. And so I kind of would crawl around with my legs, dragging my head behind me around the house. And my brothers would just kind of make fun of me and stuff, you know.
Damn. Your head's a good weapon, huh? I could picture you as a kid with a big head and a little neck, like a whiplash, almost like a whip, like you could really like headbutt some villains.
You know? It was in more danger of hurting me than anyone else. You know, like I would knock myself out with that.
You're right about that, though. With the cold, I remember one time I was doing this college tour, and they let us work out in the gym, the college campus gym. And the coach is one of those old school coaches from like the 60s, you know? And he was like, gentlemen, it's a little cold in here. Your muscles aren't going to be, and he told us that about being tight, you know, warm them up. And he actually let us use like some like on campus, like windbreakers and stuff, almost like a sauna suit. And it was really cool. And I was like, I didn't even think of that. I was like, wow. So then you kind of warm your muscles up. And then I noticed at the boxing gym, a lot of you don't just come in and start punching the bag. They all like kind of like jog in place, shadow box, jump rope a little bit. They kind of get a sweat going before they start. And I'm like,
right. Yeah. They warm up. They're like, wait a minute. If I just instantly start doing a triathlon, I pull a lot of muscles every time.
That's how I
don't know why that is.
Right. And I think that's how I've hurt myself. Like, you know, I was thinking about that one time I actually hurt myself at the boxing gym jumping rope. And I'm like, wait a second, isn't this, how do I warm up to jump rope? Like, this is the warm up.
Yeah, that's the saddest part is like, if you're a normal person, you don't pull a muscle fighting a bunch of dudes or, you know, rock climbing or anything like that. You pull a muscle because you're like, I'm going to try out a pencil sharpener because I haven't used one of those in 10 years. Yeah. Oh, God, I sprained my wrist. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I remember my buddy told me he sprained his ankle somehow hurt his body. And he said the way it was, he put the star on top of the Christmas tree. He reached up, you know, like at Christmas time, he's decorating the Christmas tree. And the final decorations, he's reaching up as high as he can. And then, boom, somehow he pulled something. And it was like, oh, my God. He goes, it was the most embarrassing way. It wasn't like,
you know. And that's almost like, that's like God's mad at you. I mean, there's no way you can look at trying to put the star on the Christmas tree and getting injured doing that.
Yeah.
That has to be some sort of hint that you're not living right, you know, by God. Yeah. You know, there's like, I remember what you did in third grade.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, Johnny,
don't think you're buttering me up with this whole tree business.
Exactly.
I know who you really are.
Oh, real quick. I wanted to put this plug real quick, you guys. If you're listening to this before the February 24th, Mike Black and I will be performing at the brand new Ice House in Pasadena. 9:30 show. Woo! 9:30 in the California room at the Ice House. So make sure you get your tickets. The link is in my bio. The link is on my link tree. You can get it right there.
I'm going to tell you guys, seriously, if you're in California and you have the occasion just to visit Pasadena, you should go to Pasadena because it's one of the nicest cities. I'm being dead serious about this. It's like if Manhattan died and went to heaven, that's what it would look like. You know, like everyone is happy. They have great stuff. They have a really good hot wings place out there. They have a great, it's like a retro arcade. And it's all old, like really good video games from the 80s. And they set up, I think, a great business model for that kind of thing. Rather than, you know how when we were kids, it was tokens and quarters and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, I have a dollar's worth of quarters and then I'm done. And, you know, that's it.
It's called Neon Retro Arcade.
Yeah. What they do there is I don't know the exact price, so don't quote me on this, but it's like for about $10 or something. You can just play any game they have there as long as you want all night.
Real quick, I'm at the website. $15 for 1 hour, $25 all day. And all the games are set to free play.
If you're a hardcore gamer and you start at like 8 a.m., you could...
yeah.
You know, like it's work, like it's a job.
Wait a second. And then I'll get off this website because I don't want to be Mr. Annoying Fact Checker. You're like, if you start at 8 a.m., I'm like, well, Mike, it doesn't open till 12. So
okay. All right.
You're like playing.
I think they understand their market. And they're like, nobody's coming here at 8 a.m. to play Dig Dug.
You're outside playing on your phone for 4 hours.
Yeah. All the Spy Hunter people don't even wake up till 11. Yeah.
You could go from 12 p.m. until 10 p.m. You could go like 10 hours. I'm off the website now, but 10 hours. Yeah. So your plan, the day of our show, which is Friday, February 24th, 9:30 p.m., the brand new Ice House. Johnny Buss is the owner, also from the Lakers. I mean, it's this place is beautiful. So your plan is to, you're going to make a day of Pasadena.
Play video games till about 7:30, you know, 8:30, do an 8-hour shift of video games.
Yeah.
Then go to the Hot Wings place, grab a little food, or they have food at the Ice House. Get food at the Ice House.
Yeah, start out with the Hot Wings, know, like from 12 to 2, maybe.
That's the plan. Take a lunch break, have some Hot Wings, because it's right. I know it's right next to the video game place, is what I'm saying. clock out for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, have a nice lunch break. Talk to your friends about the video games you played and how much fun you're all having. Then go back in. Then just when they're about ready to close, it's time for our show.
That's right.
You've had the best day in Pasadena that anyone could ask for.
Absolutely. John.
Especially if you're 11. Yeah.
Former NYPD cop and frequent guest on the Pocket Party podcast, John DeResta will be on the show. Darren Carter.
I thought at first you were going to say, former NYPD cops hang out there all the time. you can meet one.
So we'll be doing, like, not only are we going to do the show, we'll do a meet and greet so you guys can hang out with us. You can ask questions.
Yeah.
We could talk episodes.
Now that the pandemic is pretty much done,
yes,
one of
amen.
My favorite things is meeting audience members and just shooting the shit with them afterwards and seeing what they liked and what they, you know, what they didn't laugh at. You know, because a lot of times someone will be like, I like that one joke, but I didn't understand it. And that actually helps me.
Totally.
Like, if they're not being crappy about it, but they're like, you kind of lost me on that one joke. And then, like, I'll listen to the tape and it's like, oh, I left out a crucial bit of information on that joke. You know, that was really important. And so it helps to hear stuff like that, you know.
It really does. It's funny. That's why I've been using the Monday night at the Comedy Store, kind of as a like a workshop.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, when you can go up and do your, you know, on Monday.
Tell them kind of what the process is on Monday at the Comedy Store.
The process, to my knowledge, is when does it start? Like 7:30.
For paid regulars, for like guys like us.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Because I think it's I was going to say it's a show that starts at 7:30 or something like that, or 7.
Oh yeah, you can tell the whole thing if you want. I was just.
Oh, okay. So that it's this long show that goes from like, I don't even know because I'm not there, but like we'll say 6:30. I don't know. It starts out really early, and that's where the open micers are. Like they're all just people that do only 3 minutes, and they have to send
all walks of life.
All walks of life, and
but they all have one big dream, and it's to perform at the Comedy Store. That sounds crazy, but that's the truth.
And I think even before that, they go through a process where they have to email the Comedy Store. There's like a link on there, like potluck.
Yeah, it used to be so much worse than it is.
Tell us how bad it was. Like, what was it like before?
Well, before it was anybody could just come, and they had a lottery where you got a ticket, and then you threw it in a bucket, and they did a raffle, and then if your ticket got a spot, there were like 30 spots. Hmm. You wouldn't perform that night. You would perform the following week.
Wow, that sucks. What if you're only in town for that one night?
You're just not performing.
Wow.
That's just, you're not going to get to do it. And also that was their feeble attempt at a weeding out process of going like, if you're hinging your comedy career on one night in Los Angeles, you're not going to make it, you know? So,
oh, I see.
Everyone's time, you know?
Oh, I got you. They weren't like, hey, we're on a business trip and I'm shit faced drunk and I'm going to go up and do this open. They're like, not here. You're not, right. There's other places to do that, but not here.
Yeah. This isn't the place for that. Unfortunately, the people who had the most time on their hands were insane.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So a lot of crazy people showed up and would get spots, and it was just a nightmare for any audience member that came, because like there would be people like you or me that were legitimate, really trying to make an effort at getting into comedy sort of people, but they were about half and half with maniacs, with just random crazy maniacs.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those people got pulled into the Ding Dong show that Don Barris does, which is great. He found like a way of like kind of helping them get their dream in a weird sort of way. But it really was kind of like a monkey wrench in the works of weeding out legitimate comics and getting people that really we're going to put forth a work effort.
Oh, yeah. Like,
into the club, you know.
I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to curse right now, but just in case you're playing this on the speaker.
Oh, no.
It's not that bad, but this guy was telling me he went to an open mic, and the guy, this was even here, this was in Florida, but it's the same sort of thing, where it's
right.
A guy goes up on stage, and he said that what pissed him off was that it actually was working, but he was singing some song. Yeah. So he was singing some song called I Took a Shit at Work.
See, now it's already working on me.
Exactly.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. You know, I guess the guy was like,
comedy is very subjective.
Right. And he brought some people from, I guess, probably from his job. And he's up there with the guitar. And he's like, I took a shit at work. I took a shit at work. And he said, my friend who's experienced as a comedian, he goes, man, it was pissing me off because it was actually working. And, you know, and he goes, man, but the level of comedy was just so bad. And I was like,
he's right.
I know. I
can't argue with that. I like a lot of low level comedy.
Yeah, and that was just a you know what I mean? So you're competing against people like that who actually might do better right. than you. And you're like, wait a second, I've got my crafted material from Seinfeld.
But also, you never know. Sometimes that guy has put 40 hours into comedy that week. You know, he's probably the reason that song's working is because he worked it out for 30 hours that you didn't see.
Yeah, and he worked
and really put some effort into it.
And if you were to take a wild guess, where do you think he worked it out at?
In Florida?
On a toilet.
Oh, on a toilet. Well, yeah.
You got to write about what you know. Oh, I know something.
Tell you, I guarantee a lot of the most timeless comedy bits you've ever heard were worked out, at least in part, on a toilet.
that's a lot. By the way, Blues Travelers, I listen to John Popper on Adam Carolla's podcast, and he came up with one of his biggest hits, part of it, on the toilet.
Well, that tracks.
That's on brand. That's on brand.
Yeah. Like, he's a blues traveler. He's, you know, spending a lot of time in rest stops and stuff.
Yeah. Rest stops, trucks, and a lot of them, flying J's.
I'm sure he's greeted the way I'm greeted, where they're like, just bring back the key.
Yeah. Bring back the key.
Fat bastard. We don't want you in our bathroom.
Yes. Do you guys have a key? And they're just like,
I guess, John Popper.
Dude, I hate that when I go. I went to
He's like, I'm from Blues Traveler. Like, we know who you are.
You got your
That doesn't mean we want you using our toilet.
Yeah. They're like, you and your harmonica vest. Can you?
Yeah. We're not going to put a framed headshot of you in there or anything.
I know.
We're John Popper crap.
Yeah.
He called it the Popper Crapper.
The Popper Crapper by Menon.
Yeah. That is not a scent you want for Menon. This will get you laid. Try our new Popper Crapper body spray. We're just him giving a thumbs up on the can, and you know. I put it in my tackle vest when I'm on the go.
My tackle vest. I need a B3 harmonica.
Remember he used to wear that big fucking fisherman's vest?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What a crazy guy. He lost like 50,000 pounds.
Yeah, he's feeling good. He's looking good from what I heard and could see. And
maybe he was writing a lot of songs on the crapper and he crapped it all out. Now
he's like, all right, on with my life now. Yeah. I took a shit at work.
What sucks is I struggle with my weight, clearly, but I'm always, even when I'm not doing it, like hitting the gym or anything like that, I'm always rooting for other overweight people.
Yeah.
But I also know the score where it's like, I see all the work they're putting into it and they're like, oh, I'm going to get so ripped and sexy. And it's like, no, you're not. You're going to look like one of those wrinkle dogs when it's all done.
Yeah.
You know, they're just deflated. They just look deflated. They're like, I worked out for 2 years. I lost 200 pounds. Yeah, and now you look like an empty balloon.
An empty shriveled spy balloon.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. You look as good as you can look for this, but because it's like, I guess there's a certain way to do it where where you that doesn't happen. But whatever it is, that's not how anyone's doing
right.
it.
Right. I think they're trying to do like the crash diet type of thing, maybe, or something. Or
right. Yeah.
There's a guy you should talk to.
I'll run into friends, and what sucks is they think they're sexy now, and they'll be like, "You didn't even recognize me, did you?" And it's like, no, but not for the reason.
Yeah.
It's because your forehead is drooped down over your face, so I can't see you anymore.
There's a guy that he's really determined to lose weight. I think he's already lost over 100 pounds. And he's a giant Australian guy that I know. And he's a doorman at one of the clubs. And he's really determined. When I see him, he's like, I go, "How's it going, man?" He goes, "I got one job when I wake up in the morning, to lose fucking weight, man. I wake up in the morning and I don't eat. I don't eat." He goes, "I've got a window to eat, and it's from whatever time it is. I don't know, like 1 p.m. to 6 p.m.
That guy's going to die. You have to eat something.
Well, I think what he's trying to say is he doesn't eat till, like, I'm going to make up the number. I don't know what it is. It might be like from, like, he only eats from like noon to 6 or something. And then occasionally now he'll have like something at 10, like avocado or something that'll, you know, I don't know what he does. But
I hope it's working for him, but. A 6-hour block to eat is not going to make you lose weight. That's plenty of time. You can do a lot of damage in 6 hours.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I can eat anything. Yeah. Well, I don't think he eats continuously from noon.
At that hot wing place alone, I could really pack it in for 6 hours.
I play video games from noon to 4, then I eat from 4 to 8.
And then
I go back to my video games.
Yeah, you've turned eating into a job. Like, now it's work.
Well, it's actually, I think he's lost 100 pounds so far. Like, it's actually working for him.
That's great.
Like I said, he's very determined. He was almost pissed. He's like, "That's my job, man, to lose this fucking weight. It's all I do
anymore."
That's
kind of how you have to be on anything, is make, this sounds crazy, but make it kind of your enemy.
Yeah.
And go like, I'm fighting this thing, whatever it is.
Right. And alcohol addiction really or whatever, like,
motivates you. You know, in one of the things I think is fascinating, and it's totally 100% true, that they do in self-defense classes, is they tell you, when you're in a fight, don't think that you're protecting yourself or that you're fighting for yourself, because most people really don't fight for themselves. They kind of figure, oh, it's my time, or I had a good run, or, you know, weird stuff like that, real caustic sort of thoughts when their life is on the line. It's your body's defense mechanism to just prepare you for it. So what they say to do instead is think you're fighting for all the people that would be hurt by your death. So, like, your son, your wife, your, you know, friends and loved ones, anyone that it would hurt, that's who you're fighting for. And they found that people fight a lot stronger and harder when they're fighting for others than for themselves.
You know,
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. I heard that, like, they were talking to some soldiers about that. Like, you don't think of yourself as fighting your enemy. Like, you know, think of, what you just said.
Yeah, and I know that's true, because I remember the only fist fights I've been in were between like ages 8 to about middle school, like 15 or 16.
Can you imagine, you take that to you're like, "Mom, I was fighting for you." You're like, "Dude, you're grounded. Stop it." Like,
yeah. Well, no, like, I was always fighting for me, and I would do okay. Like, sometimes I'd win, sometimes I'd lose, but the one time I ever had it where the odds were really, really against me, it was 3 other kids were picking on my neighbor's dog. They were just like messing with it and torturing it and stuff. And he wasn't home, and he didn't know, like, the dog had just gotten out into the park.
Oh.
And I came across these guys doing that, and I didn't say anything. I just came over and started beating the crap out of one of them.
Damn.
And I was beating him up so bad that the other two should have jumped in to help him, but they ran away. Like, they were so scared of what I was doing to that kid. And I was just, I had so much rage that they were picking on an animal, that they were picking on like a defenseless animal that didn't know any better or anything, you know.
That's sad to see that.
But like any time that I've been in a fight where it's just for me, I was a lot more scared in the fight and a lot more like the pain hurt more and everything. Like if I got hit, it hurt more.
Yeah.
But like that kid was fighting back while I was fighting him and he was punching me. And I was like, I didn't feel any of it until after I knew the dog was safe and he ran off, you know, to join his friends. That's when all the pain hit and all the fear of like, oh, I really could have gotten messed up by those other two guys, you know?
Right. And then the next day they saw you and they're like, yo, I sprained your neck, punk.
Like, no, you know what's okay. Really, that's awesome. But you know what's really funny about it? That kid that I beat up called our school. Like we were in middle school at the time and the vice principal called my house and he was like, is Mike there? I need to talk to him. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I fought those kids, but I don't really see how it's any of your business. I was like, right. This happened in the park.
This was extracurricular.
And he was like, well, it sounds like you were bullying this kid. And I was like, no, because he had two friends with him and they were beating up a dog.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? He didn't say any of that. So like, my mom got on the phone and just like laid into the principal. Like she was just like, she was like, you need to hear every side of the story before you get upset. And she was like, and this really is none of your business. This didn't happen on school property. Right. You know? And he was like, well, I'm real sorry. And so, you know, like he just hung up and I never heard another word about that again. You know,
that's good.
But yeah. But so it is a good thing to know too, that just like, if you're in a fight, think of the people that matter to you.
That's a good advice. You know, I heard another great quote last night.
And then turn into Chuck Norris.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I heard another great quote that's kind of stuck with me. And Fraser said something. I guess this is somebody had asked him, Fraser Smith, comedian, that he's in with all the clubs in L.A. and he's been in with them for so long.
Radio legend here.
Radio legend. He was the Howard Stern of the West Coast back in the 70s and 80s, yep. I guess, the end of the 70s and the 80s. And he always had like a radio job and that kind of thing. He's been on private planes with Ken Jeong, you know. Ken will take him on the road. What?
That's just a funny sentence. That sounds like something you tell your friends when they think when they're not taking you seriously. Hey, I've been on a private jet with Ken Jeong.
People are like, wait, well, who? With Kim Jong-un from North Korea? No, comedian, yeah. Dr. Ken Jeong, The Hangover.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of Brody, like a lot of his material. Was I have been on a private plane with Ken Jeong.
We went to, exactly. So, somebody asked him, like, you know, do you have any advice? Like, you've been in the comedy business for a long time, and everyone, what you just said, they like you, they know you, they love you, they think of you for jobs, you're the guy that, you know. And he said something about being out, you know, not being home on the couch waiting for things to happen. He's like, I actually like this. He said, if you're not networking, you're not working.
Yeah.
And I like that. And
he's 100% right. Also, not only is he all of those things, one of the nicest men in comedy. And that's not saying a whole lot. Most of us are kind of jerks, but but he really is one of the nicest men. We at the improv party a couple years ago, I was hanging out with him and I go to a different room to network with other people and whatnot. And he comes and finds me and he goes, hey buddy. He goes, you left your wallet in the other room. And not only did he bring me back my wallet, but the cash was still in it.
Nice.
With 90% of the other comics that I know, that would not have been the case.
Finder's fee.
Yeah. I had some credit cards in here. I didn't see any credit cards.
Hey, how come there's all these charges to a weed store next door to the improv?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But 100%. Yeah, so that guy's just one of the best, and he hosts the show that we've been talking about, the potluck a lot of the nights.
Oh yeah, and so then when it comes to the paid regulars, so they do the whole open micers, and then there's like the door, I guess. Then they have like the people that work at the Comedy Store that are comedians that actually have jobs there, and they have to audition for those jobs. And those guys are.
It's not like a normal job. It's like you're almost like you're going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are people that are serious about comedy. They work their asses off at the job, but they also, part of the compensation they get is stage time and experience in the belly room, the main room, and the original. And a lot of times you're getting a lot more stage time during that period than you do when you become a regular, because they want you to go out and be a professional comedian everywhere else, you know. But it's a great, if you're thinking of getting into comedy seriously, like really, like I want to devote my life to it, I cannot think of a better place in the world to start than by becoming a door guy at the Comedy Store right now. It wasn't always that good.
Right.
Like the stage time wasn't always as good as it is now. And they didn't put you in every room like they do now.
Wow.
But now I'm telling you, if you're trying to get into comedy and you're serious and you're in California, that's the place to be.
And it's great because like the paid regulars will pop in, but then you'll have like some big stars pop in. Chris Rock's popped in, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
different. Chris Rock, Leslie Jones did it last week.
Oh, yeah. And what I like about it is we have carte blanche to go there on. So we know 100% we have a play every Monday at the paid regulars. If we need, you know, a place to work on, we've got a place to do like 8 to 10 minutes, whatever it is. And I love it because it's like I can freestyle there. I can do stuff that works, stuff that I want to work. I've actually used it as a workshop. Like even like last night, I did my bit and then I asked the audience, what were they thinking? Like when I was doing different things,
what were you thinking? What were you drinking while I was doing?
Yeah. What were you guys thinking? And what were you drinking when I was doing? They're like, and the audience is more like, no, Darren, what were you thinking when you came up with it? But,
like over the last 3 weeks, I've been going there because, you know, I love animals, as I displayed earlier in the conversation. Yeah. But there's a new animal movie coming out that I'm real excited about, Cocaine Bear.
Oh.
And I just can't wait to see that movie. So I've been talking about that when I go up on the workshop nights. And it's gone from being a like one-liner joke to now it's about a 3-minute bit over the 3 sets that I've worked it out on.
Oh, that's cool.
And so it's just like, it's fun to like have like a little nugget of an idea and then let it blossom into a thing like that. Mm-hmm. Through that time, you know.
I think one of the ways that they knew that the bear was on cocaine is he hibernated for like 3.5 minutes. Hey-o.
We talked about bear attacks before, right? On the show. About the my thing.
Yeah.
I talk about this in the act, but the craziest fact about a bear is that its heart beats once a minute.
Dang.
So if you shoot it in the heart, it still has 60 seconds to kill you.
Wow.
Which is terrifying, you know, because now it really wants to. Talk about, you know, fighting for your loved ones or whatever. If you kill a bear and it knows it, you're in trouble, you know. And like shooting it in the head sounds like a great idea, like in zombie movies and stuff, but their brains aren't very big, so your chance of hitting it is real, real small. And again, you're just going to piss it off.
Dude, I was up at Lake Tahoe once and, you know, doing a gig. And then you can go for like a hike in the mountains there and then look down on the beautiful lake. And then when I say the mountains, I mean, you're literally, there's a Vons parking lot. And then you go up some, like this path. And the next thing you know, you're like in the woods. I mean, you're there. But you can still see like the city, you're only like a 15-minute walk. But then I got up there and I got kind of spooked. I'm like, damn, there could literally be a bear here. There's nothing. There's no cave. There's no like fence keeping me from a, you know.
Nope. Yeah. And I saw a documentary on surviving a bear attack, and the three people on there, after I heard them all talk, what I realized was what this documentary is trying to tell you is don't survive a bear attack.
Damn.
Just let it kill you. Because they all looked like Muppets made out of hamburger.
The bear jacked them up. I've seen those terrifying videos where the guy's up in the deer stand and the bear's trying to get up there and they're, oh my gosh, yep. They're sniffing
and
around.
They climb trees like you wouldn't believe, and they're super fast. They don't look like they would be fast at all, like running, but they can outrun a human very easily. And I don't know if you ever saw The Edge, where like a bear's attacking Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin in the wild. They had that bear running through the forest, and it's knocking over trees, like full thick.
Holy cow.
Like trees, like they're toothpicks to get to them and stuff. And it's like, they have so much power. It hit one guy in the head on his right side, and his eye popped out on the left side.
Oh my gosh.
Hit him that hard. Okay. And then another guy, like he hit him on top of the head, and the whole top came off like a cheap wig. And then the last guy, the only guy who thought to bring a gun, was about 200 yards away, shoots the bear in the heart. And what do we know about that now? The bear is now in sudden death overtime.
Damn.
And clears that distance super fast and disarms the guy. And by that, I don't mean he knocked the gun out of his hand. I mean he ripped his arms off and then died.
Oh my God.
That bear didn't have an ounce of cocaine in him. So I'm real excited to see this movie.
Oh my God. I know. Okay, so I Googled what to do in a bear attack, okay? It says cover your head and neck with your arms and hands. Lay flat on your stomach and spread your legs apart. See, I don't know if I'd want to spread my legs apart because your balls, okay? Keep your pack on. Right. It will protect you during an attack. Stay still and don't make any noise. You're trying to convince the bear that you aren't a threat to it or its cubs. And then there's another thing it says, because you're supposed to like hold on, I'm trying to get this thing.
There's
to move
a
over.
Lot of contrary advice.
Yeah.
The opposite advice that people give is get real big and make a lot of noise to scare it off. Well, that works unless it thinks it has to protect its cubs, and
right.
Then it will just go to town on you. In the worst possible way.
Oh, it says if it's brown, lie down. If it's black, fight back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't know how true that is.
They all say don't run. So you're not supposed to. Fuck. I mean, it's just scary. Don't
run unless, you know, someone else in your party is really slow.
Yeah. Hey, everyone.
Then run your ass off. If you can do like, God, there was a great commercial where these two guys, a bear runs into them in the woods and it starts growling at them. And one guy just starts screaming and the other one grabs the honey from their barbecue kit.
Oh no.
And just starts squirting it all over the other guy. And he's like, what are you doing? And then he just runs off.
Oh my gosh. They all say stay prepared. So like to fight a brown bear or a black bear, it says always carry bear spray. If you suspect bears in the area, make noise, sing, talk to yourself, etc. Never leave food on trail. Always pick up all trash, even organic. Follow this, and then on the black bear, it says follow the same steps, and also add bells to your pack.
Yeah, and an AR-15 automatic.
Right. But they're right, though, about the whistling making noise, because even here when I'm walking on my little hikes here in L.A., Griffith Park, Runyon, wherever I'm at, sometimes I just have my AirPods on and I'm by myself just listening and I'll see coyotes come down. Like they're not, but if I'm on the phone talking or if I have a speaker playing music, that's a lot more rare. I don't really startle any animals or anything.
Yeah. But they don't, like, you don't want to fight any of those animals. I don't want to fight a skunk.
I know.
You know?
Exactly.
So you it's like,
yeah.
You know, there's only downside to fighting animals in nature, which is why I stay out of nature.
100%. Even when I was at the farm, I think I may have told you this before. I think we were there Thanksgiving up near Fresno, and I'm walking, on this private road, and I look way in the back, and I see, and there's all, you know, it's all fenced in and stuff, and I see what appeared to be two white horses galloping.
Oh, cool.
And no, I'm sorry. At first it was, I thought it might've been like, cause my, you know, my vision isn't as good for distance. I didn't have my glasses on. And so from a distance, I thought it was like two people, maybe like one looked shorter than the other. So I thought maybe it was like father, son. I couldn't tell what it was. And they're both wearing white, which I thought was really odd that who would be wearing like white coveralls, like out on a farm. Like that's just a strange outfit.
Yeah. That's.
And then like, I mean, my brain's processing this all quickly. So it's like 1 second, like, that's weird. And then a second later, I'm like, oh no, that's, there's kind of a gallop to that. Is that a horse and a pony? And then about 5 seconds later, I'm like, cause I'm getting closer. They're getting closer. And I'm like, oh no, that's two dogs in the wild here on this private property. Like there's no owners around. There's no, and then I kind of just stopped and they kept coming towards me cause they didn't see me at first. And then I went, hey, and then they stopped. And then I whistled, you know, then I whistled and I remember thinking, just try to be as big as you can and don't run. And I looked to my left and there was like a horse corral with barbed wire. And so I thought, well, I could maybe try to get in the horse corral if I could find a gap where there's no barbed wire. But then I thought, there's nothing really to go. Once I'm in there, there's nothing really to jump up on. Like, you know, and then I just kind of, I luckily I carry an axe handle with me. So I have something when I'm out there. And I just kind of waved it.
Good weapon, yeah.
Yeah, and then the one dog took off the other way, and the other dog kind of was curious about me and was kind of stopping and then would take a couple steps towards me and kind of sniff like and look towards me. And I just kind of walked backwards, slowly backwards, and then eventually I was able to get away. And it really freaked me out because, you know, here I thought I was on this peaceful, like, you know, like Little House on the Prairie type of setting, and all of a sudden it's like.
What I love thinking is that whoever owned that ranch has all of this on camera.
Yeah, exactly. Like
some weirdo came and fought some dogs on the land.
Yeah, that's our. Oh, yeah, but I've been there for so long. Like I've never once seen those dogs like that. Like that was just so out of place. That was like, you know, like, and plus they were just these white dogs. Like I don't know. If they were like a husky, I don't even know what type of dog they were. I know they were big. I'll tell you that. They were big.
How did they get here from Alaska?
Exactly. I'm like, I've never seen any farmers. I've never seen any farm workers there with white dogs like that. I've seen other types of dogs, but
could they have been wolves?
I don't know.
I'm just thinking white dogs.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be weird. But I don't know if they're. I don't know. Maybe. Forget it for the legend. There were wolves, honey.
Yeah, that's what I would tell others.
Yeah, yeah. Enough of this. Okay, you got to drop the poodles and say there were wolves.
And it wasn't two of them. It was a pack of wolves.
It was a pack of them. And it was me and my axe handle.
Yeah. And now every full moon, you become the Red Wolf.
I know. So what did we learn today? We learned how to fight off, we've learned how to fight off bears or lay down. Yeah. We've learned if we have to fight, we have to think, this fight isn't for me. It's for everyone that loves me, my family, my children, my parents.
Just don't say that during the fight. I'm not fighting for me. I'm fighting for everyone that loves me. Ah, oh, ow, why? Ow,
boop, 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 boop. Damn it. Get me out
now
of this.
Now we want to beat you up even more.
Yeah, I know. I for some reason when I said that I pictured Gene Wilder like in a boxing match. Richard, this fight isn't for me. It's for everyone that loves me.
And then just beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
I remember one of my favorite things he ever did in a movie was the movie Hear No Evil, See No Evil.
Yeah.
And it's at the end of the movie, he's got the bad guy. He's got the drop on him, but he's only armed with a knife. And so the guy, he's like, hands up, turn around, don't move, or I'll throw your brains out.
Oh, it's hilarious. He's like, you got to practice these sayings. Although I listened to this, it's funny, I was listening to actually Joe Rogan's podcast. You guys, if there's another podcast out there, it's called the Joe Rogan Experience. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but
Yeah. I think he's really got something there. I don't know. I hope it takes off.
I hope it takes off. It's you know, it's starting to get a buzz, but
yeah.
He said something interesting. He said he kind of regrets that he did this. He was back when he was.
He fought a bunch of wolves.
Yeah, exactly.
No. With him, I believe I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess he used to kind of get bullied because he's actually pretty short. So he was kind of, especially back then, I guess he was kind of, you know, and then he started taking martial arts, this and that. Started, and then he goes, the problem, he goes, your brain isn't fully developed in this, you know, and you kind of want to start practicing this shit, right? Like, oh, I know how to fight now. Let me see if this shit works, you know, that kind of thing.
And, yeah. And then you become a bully yourself.
Right. And I guess he said that some bully was, you know, came up to him and was talking all this crap and it's funny. He said that looking back now, he probably there's other ways to resolve that. But at the time, you're just like the testosterone's kicking in. And he goes, and then yeah. The thing about a fight, he goes, people sometimes they have this idea that there's going to be this whole preamble that they're going to say, like they're going to give you this whole monologue, and then the fight starts. And so I guess as the guy was giving him his whole monologue, Joe just like whacked him, bam, like that or whatever, did a kick or whatever he did, but. That's interesting too, right? Like people think in their mind, like, I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say there, and I'm going to give them this big speech, and then they're going
to... Yeah, there's a custom to fighting that not everybody is on the same page on, you know?
Yeah. Not to be... This isn't too bad, but I remember seeing a fight once in elementary school, and I remember, like, this guy was... He kind of beat him up a little bit. Like, the one guy was on the kid was on the ground, and then the other guy, like... I think he like stepped on his head or something. And I was like, I was thinking, oh, you don't do that. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's it's a weird thing, but a person who does not know how to fight at all.
Yeah.
Might be more dangerous than a person who knows the rules of fighting, you know?
And yeah.
Like, the societal rules of fighting, like a guy who's never fought before will try and rip your ear off or bite your nose off or something like that. They're fighting totally wild. They don't know the limits of, you know, what's acceptable.
Yeah. You might go in there with some limits. Like, in fact, I read this thing.
They might be like, I've never fought before. I'm going to pee on the guy first. And then, like, no, you're not. Don't, that's not how fighting works.
Oh gosh. I know. And then you're right. I read something that said, if you want to, or maybe it was a video. Basically, it was saying, like, if you want to try to beat people who are like experts at their field of whatever that is, martial arts, it said, know what the rules are for that martial art form and then break those rules because they're not used to that. And I thought about that. Like, if you're fighting a boxer, you're only supposed to, when you, like, boxers only punch in the front and to the side, and they don't punch below the waist or behind the head or in the back, and they don't kick, they don't wrestle. So there's like all these things that supposedly, in theory, this would all work, you know?
Well, like, to put it in comedy terms, if you were fighting a groundling.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I have to say yes, and you just say no. That's going to screw them up. I don't know where to go from there.
Then they lay down like it's a bear attack and pretend to be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, pull the curtain down. Show's over.
They're real small.
Keep real small. Or they just bear spray you. Get out of here, you stand-up comic.
Yeah, have you ever seen, I think I've asked you about this before, but have you ever seen, it's a phenomenal movie if you're in comedy. If you're a regular person, it's not. But Shakes the Clown.
Oh, I got to see that.
Oh, it's so good. Because it's basically Bobcat Goldthwait wrote it, and it's about an alcoholic birthday party clown. But he gets into this whole culture of it, and you realize very quickly that, oh, the clowns are stand-up comedians. And this is him, like, it's an allegory to that. But at one point, they get in a fight with a bunch of mimes, and you realize, oh, mimes are like improv sketch comedians.
Right.
And so it's, you know, them fighting they just don't respect each other's form all that much, you know. And so it's a lot of fun. And Robin Williams, God rest his soul, has maybe his best... one of his best performances, but definitely one of the best cameos ever in a movie, in that movie, where he plays kind of the leader of the mimes. And, he, you know, he was an actual mime in real life, so he couldn't have been more perfect. But it's worth it. You can find just his clip on YouTube, but the whole movie is worth watching. And the longer you do comedy, the funnier that movie will be to you specifically. Like, just as an example, in the clown community, there's also rodeo clowns, and those are basically road comics.
Yeah.
And so they're just a little bit tougher and a little bit saltier, you know. And it's really worth checking out. Any comic out there would really get a kick out of it.
That's a movie I want to watch, and I also want to watch Andy Griffith. I think one of his first movies was called Face in the Crowd. And it was also, he played a comedian, and he was kind of a mean comedian.
Yeah, I want to see that one too. You were telling me about it, and I'd heard about it for years, but I just never got around to seeing it. But I'm gonna.
Yeah, I saw this clip from in 1991. Jay Leno, he was on the Jay Leno show or the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and Jay was making a big deal out of it. He goes, "I love this movie. This movie's so good. I brought a copy for you to sign," and he was just saying how it should have won an Oscar, and he loved it,
did the comic Andy Griffith played steal a hosting gig from another one and then do it again 10 years later. That would be hilarious.
So relatable, and
the plot of the movie.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I just really loved it. No one else seems to like it, but I love it.
I love it. Yeah, exactly. Damn. Oh, two things, you guys. Don't forget, please get your tickets. Friday, February 24th, Ice House, Pasadena, 9:30 show. It's going to be great. The link is below, or you can probably go to icehousecomedy.com or whatever their website is.
But I put beg, borrow, steal, whatever you have to do to get down to Pasadena.
To come out. If you say you heard about it on the podcast, I got some souvenirs and some gifts for you. And I want to do a little bragging here, man. I had another video go viral on TikTok for me. Now, this one's, I'm telling you guys, I want to thank you guys for sharing. By the way, we already say this, but anytime you review the podcast on iTunes or you leave comments on YouTube, you give them any interaction you have with any artist, it helps. They love it, and it's free to do.
It absolutely does.
So I put up this video, and as of this recording, Mike, it has 2.9 million views. And it's been up for not even 48 hours.
Congratulations. Can you tell, without spoiling it, what the clip is about?
I wonder if I could play it.
I mean, you probably have the rights to it.
Oh, you're right, huh? Oh, man, maybe I should play it. I meant physically if I could play it.
I was like, oh, gee, I hope I don't get
sued. I wonder if my overlords will let me play it.
Darren Carter.
Let's see if I can do this, because... I'll try to play it on my laptop, and then I'll hold the microphone up to here we go. I think I can figure this out, because I was going to play it on my phone, but I'm like, well, I'm recording the podcast on the phone. So, all right, here we go. Let me make sure the volume is up. By the way, if you guys ever want to put videos out, the key I find is brevity. Like, if you want something to go viral. So I made sure this was 14 seconds.
Yeah.
And I cut it off at the perfect time, I think. So here we go. Let's see if this works. Here we go.
I like my women like I like my swim goggles. Wet, tight, and on my face.
That's it, right there.
That's awesome.
I like my women like I like mine. And she yelled out, swim goggles. And I go, swim goggles. Wet, tight, and on my face. And I did the way I kind of did my best Kid Rock scream. Wet, tight, and on my face.
Did you do a little kick at the end?
Yeah, exactly. So that feels really good to actually wake up my social media, all right, because there's nothing worse as an artist, entertainer, comedian. You put stuff out and you're like, is anybody,
It got 4 likes and 3 of them are from relatives.
Exactly. And that's how it starts out. I mean, you're fanning the flames. You're like, come on, you guys, like my stuff. Like, I literally, during the pandemic.
Well, and what sucks is it's like a lot of things. You, as an artist, you start out going, likes don't matter. I don't care about that stuff.
Yes.
Then you do something that really hits and it gets a lot of likes, and suddenly you're not satisfied with it. Anything that doesn't get that many likes anymore.
Oh my gosh, you're totally 100% right. Like, my son Austin, aka Austin the Bass Boss, he put up a YouTube video, and it was, you know, a little piano tutorial thing, but it was at the end of it. It's he goes, now put it all together, and then he starts playing, and then the big reveal is that it's Rick Astley. So he's like, congratulations, you just got Rickrolled.
that's really cool.
Yeah, because it starts out, here's how you do it, ding 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 ding, whatever, C A plus F whatever, and yeah, that one got over 2 million views, and all these subscribers. He was like, I never had a video get that many views on YouTube ever. Still haven't.
Yeah, he was just rolling in it.
Rolling in it. He had way more subscribers than me at one point. He was like, you know.
Did he bully you around the house? It's like, Dad, that cereal is for people that have had at least 1 million views on this.
Exactly. He was like I'd put up a video and he'd say like, hey, Dad, how many likes does it have? And I would say exactly. I go, likes don't matter. I don't care about likes. I don't care about likes. I'm like, I care about views. That's the analytics. I care about views. I don't care about likes. But and then now
I'm about views, son.
Yeah, I'm all about views and I don't have any. I've got 3 views.
No. I'm leaving that views life.
He even had a video that went pretty viral even before that. And I remember, because now he's 15. At that time, I think he was like either 12 or 13. And we were walking, and we're on this nice walk, and I go, and I was just kind of being, oh, yeah, he got a video that got 1,000 views. That's what it was. And which is a lot. And I go, and I was kind of joking with him, but I go, hey, son, when you like blow up, you know, and is it cool if I maybe open for you? You know, and he was totally serious. He's like, actually, a lot of people that are the main focus of the concert, they usually have people that open for them are usually pretty obscure.
Yeah. Or younger than they are. Or
exactly. And when he said obscure, I was like, obscure, huh? Interesting. And then
I bought you a bike when you were 11.
I'm obscure. But then he started like going through some proof to prove that I was obscure. Which is not a
oh no
yeah because I all my albums have been self-published, and right. I go through CD Baby, and then the other big one is called TuneCore, and he goes, Dad, look, I noticed on CD Baby's website it's usually obscure artists, and I'm like, yes. I guess I am obscure.
I get it, son. That's enough, son.
We don't need any more proof.
It actually has you filed under obscure comedy.
I know.
I understand your point now.
I understand, son. Yes, I do. Yes, son.
Please stop talking.
Yeah, stop talking, son. Please. Yeah.
It's you're actually in the subcategory of bald obscure comedians.
Yeah. I know. What else was funny? He said something like, which is, that's true. And then, then he noticed that some people would say this, but I convinced him, which is true. I think it's true that it's actually a compliment. That people would leave comments like, this comedian is so underrated. And I'm like, and I'm like, no, underrated. That's a good thing, son, that I'm underrated, that I should be.
Yeah. It's a left-handed compliment.
Exactly. Yeah. Like they believe that I should be, you know, bigger than I am.
I just Googled the word obscure and your picture came up.
Oh my gosh.
It actually says, did you mean Darren Carter?
Did you mean Darren? It's like, I know, what's that new thing called Chat GPT?
Right.
It's like beyond Siri.
Even Chat GPT is like,
Darren Carter, an obscure comedian who is underrated.
Can you render me a picture of an obscure comedian? Oh, you mean Darren Carter? Party starter.
He starts very small parties.
Very obscure.
They're more like small gatherings. His parties were so small.
More of a get-together.
His parties were so small that he could actually keep doing shows all during the pandemic. Nobody was in
any. Just getting roasted by ChatGPT.
Nobody was by in AI. Any. I know. Nobody in his audience was in danger at all. They were socially distanced and few and far between.
My intelligence is artificial, much like his humor.
I know. Hey, real quick, were you in the room last night when I started my set, when I did the little kick I did, and then I turned to the side and I did the
I did see that, and then I left.
Oh,
I was like, well, that's enough for me.
No wonder he is obscure.
I actually wasn't there. I was still at Kearney. We all went to Kearney.
Oh, that's right.
And so I was just starting to head back from Carney's, probably.
Oh, well, then I got a standing ovation since you weren't there to witness it.
Oh, nice. No. The president of Hollywood showed up.
Oh, yeah. He was like, where's Mike Black? You know, he's at Carney's. If you ain't working, you ain't networking. Or you ain't networking.
Why do you guys have an obscure comedian on stage? I came here to see the big talent.
Oh, those aren't here on Mondays. No, they are. He's a Monday headliner. No,
they carry top or nothing.
So yeah, that's that thing I was kind of playing around with, where I sort of do like a bull, how a bull will kind of kick his leg, you know, kind of like the scrape the dirt, like is before he's about to charge. Like I've been doing that in the beginning of the set, not the very first thing I say, but I usually do that. And it's almost kind of funny how I tell the audience, "Hey guys, new opening, check it out." And then I do that, and then I turn to the side, and I do the profile, and I just hold it and pause. And it's interesting to me to see how different people react. Like when I was in Bakersfield, the audience did it back to me.
Yeah, like that's very much a Bakersfield sort of greeting. Yeah.
The crowd was
I think that might be the city motto.
Yeah. And then this one
guy. You know what you ought to do, you know, when you're doing a club, have them play.
Here comes the rooster. Here comes the rooster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have them
pick that in before you go up, you know.
I think, you know, there's a couple DJs that used to do that back when I would go by the name Rooster. But I think it's actually kind of cool, huh?
I think you might bring back the rooster, you know.
Maybe, but then half the crowd knows me as the party starter. Half the crowd knows me as the rooster. Then again, all of them know.
You can be more than one thing, Darren. There are no rules.
And plus, the only
just
rule.
Like martial arts.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Oh, I'm like the MMA of comedy. I'm 1 minute I'm a rooster, next thing but overall, yeah. Overall,
a rooster can start a party just like anyone else.
That's true. But I'm a little rooster. I'm a little bit party starter, but overall, I'm obscure and underrated.
You're a little bit country. You're a little bit rock and roll.
I'm a little bit country. That's true. There's no rules. There's no rules, you guys.
Yeah, you do bumpkin activities and you start parties. So.
That's true. I can talk about the inner city of... not really, though. I usually try to not really go there, like the inner city, but...
Yeah, you're the son of a Hell's Angel, and you know, you also live in Fresno. You know, you've done it all.
I've done it all, y'all. Where's my audience? They're obscure. No.
Yeah, that's the problem. They're all over the map.
They're all over the map. It's the algorithm of life. I need to find out how this works. But dude, it was great hanging with you. Lastly,
always fun talking.
Always fun. And I got a quick question. When you said, I got this beautiful visual in my head with you said your mom and dad are from like Texas, and then they go to Colorado, and at night they crack the window. I'm picturing a little bit of South Park, like that kind of lifestyle. I'm also picturing a little bit of John Denver when he had this vision in his mind of what he wanted Colorado to be, and he would write songs about it and Rocky Mountain High. Were your parents?
John Denver's music was huge in Colorado when I was a kid. Everybody knew. I would say he was probably the only more famous John than John Elway in Colorado. You know, like people just loved his music. And it really did fit. Like if you went up into the mountains and stuff, there's some beautiful, beautiful scenery there.
And you're playing
it's
at
worth
John.
Going at least once. And, like they have the Seven Sisters, which are these avalanches that you see that they will trigger on purpose to keep them from getting out of control. And they will literally, so much snow will drop that it blocks off the freeway.
Wow.
And there's, you know, different things like old West mining towns up in the mountains and stuff that are still there. They have, I can't remember the name of the town, but there's one town that's like a fully preserved old West mining town.
Wow.
And now it's like a tourist attraction, but right in the middle of town is an old Wells Fargo safe that has never been opened.
Wow.
I don't remember how it got there, but you're free to go up and try and see if you can crack it. You know,
yeah, I know
that's what it was. It may have been cracked since then, but when I was a kid, that was a thing, and you would go up and like try and see if you could figure out the combination and stuff. You know,
let's get Geraldo on the case.
Yeah,
but That's amazing. We'll talk John Denver sometime, man. I love his. Whenever I hear John Denver on the radio, I don't seek him out too much. But when it pops up, I'm like, gosh, I love this stuff. It's so good. It's feel good music.
I'll tell you, his music is great. But if you really want to see something fantastic, watch his episode of The Muppet Show.
Okay.
One of the best ever. And that's saying a lot. That show,
guys, do your homework. The next episode, I will have watched John Denver on The Muppets.
Yeah.
I will have watched that. John Denver on The Muppets. I'm writing it down right now. John Denver.
Yeah, you'll get a kick out of it for sure.
I will. Buddy, great hanging with you. And as always, what a blast. And I will see you Friday at the Ice House.
Yeah, see you Friday.
Okay, buddy.
See everyone Friday.
All right. Bye-bye. Look at you. You made it all the way through. Thank you so much. Pocket Party Podcast. Like we said, do us a favor. Go to Apple. Go to iTunes. And just leave a little 5 stars and a review. It helps the show tremendously. It's easy. It's free. It'll help us out. And that's all I can say. Hey, have a great... Thank you guys for hanging out with us for part of your day. And go on and have a great rest of your day. And if you like this episode... I got a whole bunch more. Go back to the catalog and start going through that library and check these episodes out. You guys are great. I'm Darren Carter, the party starter, also known as the rooster. Have a great day. Don't hurt nobody. Be careful.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to... Pocket Party.